Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Are you ready for a good team?
Yeah, I talked to a couple ex-major leaguers yesterday to get a sense as to who was at fault, how this all went down, how it should have happened, who did what, why. Right? Why did we end up with the benches clearing at that level of animosity on Sunday? And what, you know, what could have done differently? Who was responsible for it? And I guess my biggest conclusion is that the unwritten rules are unwritten for a reason, and that everybody views them and interprets them differently. Baseball players do not all agree on what the unwritten rules are. That's part of the fun of it. Like, that's what I like about unwritten rules, and I know there's people out there who hate it and think that unwritten rules are the stupidest thing, and these are the rules and everything else. If it's unwritten, then it doesn't count. I love it. It's okay that they all see it a little bit differently. That's what leads to occasional conflict, and conflict is okay.
Right.
It's okay for them not all to agree on it and to have different views on how the game of baseball should be played and who should do what and what's classy. When should you steal? When shouldn't you steal? When are you adding on runs and running up the score? When aren't you? What is? I think it's okay that everyone has different views and visions on that. That's kind of what makes the world work. So I that doesn't bother me. But I definitely heard different visions on this. The one thing that all of the players I texted with yesterday seemed to agree on is that getting a second shot at Winker after you missed Julio was Bush League.
That's breaking the rule.
That was the one thing that everyone, no matter what, said, yeah, you get one shot. And whether it was, you know, people I was texting with, I told you I texted with Jared Washburn, amongst others, whether it was, I watched Trevor Plouffe, who was on with Chris Rose. He said the exact same thing. Everyone seemed to agree. You don't get two shots at the guy. You can't keep throwing at people. You can do it once.
Yeah. And when that rule is broken, you should expect
some sort
of consequence for it.
Yes, exactly right. Although
the consequences end up being worse.
Although one ex-pitcher did tell me, you only get one shot, but unfortunately guys today don't throw at people enough, so they're not good at hitting them, and so that's probably why he felt he needed to do it a second time.
Oh,
so I thought that
man.
Was kind of funny.
But the John Boy breakdown of it, the most fascinating part of the entire video, which is great, by the way, if you haven't watched it, 15 minutes of it was about the 30 seconds spent on Jesse Winker talking to Andrew Wants, where he said, I had to. And you see...
Wants says it to
Winker. And you see Winker's face being like, you had to? Something like, no, you didn't. Or the exchange in that conversation was the best part of that for me.
Wants is like a rookie with six games to his credit.
Never started in his career.
What, he's supposed to not do what his manager tells him to do?
Which is also terrible, because I could...
and that's why he only
sets him up for that.
That's why he only gets three games.
Yeah.
Which for a reliever is almost nothing.
Yeah, true.
Right? I mean, like, that's probably why he only gets three games. So let me kind of run through the one opposing argument I heard. I went through it earlier. I don't know that I convinced anybody. I don't know that I'm convinced by it. I just, you know, I think it's fair to kind of paint the other side and tell you how one ex-major leaguer saw this. This was not Washburn, I can promise you that, but I did talk to him yesterday. So another guy told me that while the Angels shouldn't have thrown twice, that they absolutely had to respond, that bringing in the opener to hit or try, you know, throw at Julio was 100% inbounds, that it was absolutely fine. He said the opener, quite frankly, didn't bother him because it made it obvious rather than trying to hide your intent. This is what we're doing. Be ready.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hit you. I guess I understand that part of the argument. I still think it's kind of Bush League because it forces the other team to not play by the same rules. You've turned in one guy into a goon without giving the other side an opportunity to do the same, right? There's no real battle of
equals. Yeah,
you
can't balance those scales. Yeah.
That's right. But okay, I understand his argument. You're giving them fair warning. Hey, we brought up some kid who's going to throw at you. So heads up, be ready. Okay, fine. The second part of it, though, he says, look, you can always back guys off the plate, because he really pointed at the Mike Trout incident from Saturday and said, you can back guys off the plate, but you better have enough control not to hit them or we're going to hit you back. Essentially meaning for the better players in the game who dive out over the plate and want to hit those, you know, low pitches, when you get to Mike Trout's level or, you know, you mentioned a few other guys earlier, Acuna or Judge or
Soto
or, you know, the best players in the game, that they play by a different set of rules. And you, if you are going to throw anywhere near them, you better know what you're doing. It's one thing to throw inside to Mike Trout. You might have to in order to get him out. But if you can't do it effectively and you come anywhere near his head, heads up. Because we are essentially morally obligated to defend him.
Right, which is why you would say that's different than the Angels actually hitting Upton in the head.
They would argue that Mike Trout getting thrown at near the head is worse than Justin Upton getting hit in the head.
That's a bigger broken baseball rule.
Because he's Mike Trout. And that, by the way, a guy getting missed near the head is worse than someone else getting hit in the back. If you hit Mike Trout in the back, okay, we move on. But if you throw near his head, it's a different conversation because we are morally obligated to defend Mike Trout's head.
Okay.
And even beyond that, and the last part of it is, I don't care if you were trying to hit him or not. If you were trying to hit him, yeah, we're absolutely going to go around and you're going to see something coming back at you. If you were unintentionally coming up and in, well, that's on you because you better be in control if you're throwing inside to Mike Trout or you don't get to do it. That's where the unwritten rule comes in. Essentially, what he's saying is maybe you weren't trying to hit him, but you weren't trying hard enough not to hit him.
Got it.
That it is on you, the pitcher, if you're going to throw inside, to have enough control to be darn sure you don't hit the guy, or you better not throw inside.
Yeah, I mean, I understand it. But the problem that I would then come back to you with is if Phil Nevin is willing to break this rule, and if you...
Break what rule?
Break this by throwing again, by throwing at Winker the second time.
Mm-hmm.
How do you expect it to be done now? If he's willing to go there and you don't retaliate now, is it still over to Phil Nevin?
Good question. So do you think at the end of it, do you think Nevin feels like everything is evened out and they can move forward?
From the sounds of it, yeah.
He probably does.
He does.
Feels like he administered the justice he needed to. But the Mariners aren't going to feel that way.
Exactly.
Because they feel like they're now, you know, it's been 3-1, right? You hit Upton, you threw at Julio, and you hit Winker, and they don't see the three adding up to the one or even close to it. So, yeah, from their perspective, I don't know why they would possibly think it is over.
That's the biggest part of the unwritten rules, is respecting their unwritten rules. And if they feel like they disrespected it, then, well, maybe it's not done.
But, of course, nobody agrees on exactly what the unwritten rules are.
Yeah.
So whether or not you can respect them is a little bit challenging to determine whether or not the whole thing is still going on. Didn't Winker talk about this? Here's a little bit of Jesse Winker.
Believe it or not, you could call it whatever you want. There were some positives that came out of it. I got a free pizza. Pretty cool. No, but, you know, it's a bad look for Nevin, if anybody. And, you know, it's something that... I think it's a bad look on Phil Nevin, and it could have been handled differently. That's all.
All right, it wasn't in that cup. But I one of the other ones I have, and I won't go through them all now, basically says, yeah, we'll see what happens next. We'll see. Maybe it's over, maybe it's not. Baseball players have long memories. I mentioned earlier that Nevin and Service played together in 1995. These guys have known each other a long time.
Yeah, so they probably know some of those particulars of how he was going to handle it. So I wonder if Scott, after they threw Julio once, thought, okay, I know Nevin. He's probably not done.
Right, or, you know, when you see guys get upset like that and chirp back and forth from the benches, you wonder if these are personality traits that go back 30 years, right? So I'm making up a scenario, but if Scott had known Phil Nevin in the 90s and knew that he was a hothead, and all of a sudden this goes down and he's like, oh, for God's sakes, you've always been like this. Right. I mean, he's got all the institutional knowledge on Phil Nevin. And I told you, I text Jared Washburn yesterday and he's like, yeah, not a surprise. That guy started two brawls in a game where I made my major league debut.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a reason he's not a major league manager.
Exactly right. So This thing has so many fun little offshoots and great conversations to it. I love it. This is why these things are fun. So I know that not everyone's going to agree with my former major leaguer who kind of gave me the rundown on what the Angels are thinking. I don't know that I necessarily agree either, but I do think that it's a worthwhile argument to understand if you're trying to figure out why the Angels did what they did. All right.
Yeah, I get it. I think we just got a text here and said, okay, fine, bring in Munoz to hit Trout on the back at a 102 and move on.
You could do that. And that might, and as long as he keeps it low enough, all right, maybe yeah. That will, maybe everybody will move it along at that point. I liked your idea, which is you bring in Munoz as the opener and then don't throw
do nothing.
Anybody.
Just plant that seed in their head and just let him go out and pitch like he normally would.
I tell you what, they got to win some games. If that's what you got to do, that's what you got to do. All right, coming up next, we'll go through everything you need to know, including multiple legal fronts the NFL is doing battle on. We'll do that next. Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Mike Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, suspensions were handed down yesterday, and I don't know that I could make an argument that baseball got it right. Interim manager Phil Nevin gets 10 games for ordering an intentional hit by pitch after warnings have been issued. Okay, fine. That one makes sense to me. But then you go through the Mariners' suspensions. Jesse Winker, 7 games. J.P. Crawford, 5. Julio Rodriguez, 2. Now, to be fair, they can appeal, and they are, which is why they were in the lineup last night. They can also serve them staggered. They can stagger the suspension so they're not all out at once. But it really does seem like an extreme punishment for the Mariners, and especially Julio Rodriguez, who no one has seen do much of anything, Jesse Winker, on what he thinks of the whole thing.
You know, it's an unfortunate part. It's an unfortunate part because it could all have been stopped with a simple ejection and people just not talking. You know, I said that you weren't here, but there's a man with a cast on and a manager talking. That's why this started. If they're not talking, none of that happens. But they decided to run their mouth, and I didn't like that. And it's that simple. There's nothing else left to say about that. They're going to suspend me. They're going to suspend Crawford, and that's the MLB's decision. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever is right. The man with the cast, of course, is Anthony Rendon. And he is going to get a 7-game suspension when he finally returns from the injured list, which likely won't be until next year. Others for the Angels, beyond Nevin, pitching coach gets 5, Wants gets 3, Tapera 3, Iglesias 2, bench coach gets 2, catching coach gets 1, interpreter gets 2. The whole thing is ridiculous. The league admits the Angels started it, they premeditated it, but then the Mariners bear the brunt of the suspensions. Again, totally ridiculous, and I'm not sure what Julio's even did or why he's been suspended at all. So maybe at some point we'll get a level of transparency. Somehow I doubt it. Meanwhile, Jerry DePoto did make a small move yesterday, trying to help his beleaguered lineup, just trying to score some runs. He brings back first baseman Carlos Santana from Kansas City. The guy was here briefly for 10 days in December of 2018. He had been acquired with J.P. Crawford and then shipped off to Cleveland almost immediately. Now, when he first came up with Cleveland, he could really hit, and he has had a very good career. But the last few seasons have certainly gone in the other direction. He's not done much in Kansas City this year. But if you need somebody to play first base while Ty France is out and to provide a little bit of pop, certainly he might have that still in the tank. He's actually hit the ball pretty well for the last month, and also makes you wonder where you're at with Ty France. Some positive vibes coming from Scott yesterday about it, but a little worried that you may not see him for a few more weeks, meaning until after the All-Star break. Better news, Mitch Haniger was out there playing catch yesterday, and also said that Kyle Lewis was playing catch and doing some baseball activities. In Kyle Lewis's case, once he's doing that, I would hope it's not too much longer before he's out there on the field.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Unfortunately, even after the fight, no momentum on the Mariners' side. They got really well brutalized by Baltimore's bats yesterday. George Kirby had his worst outing as a pro. Gave up 7 runs in 4 innings. We just haven't seen a lot of this.
We haven't had that game in quite some time. Our starting pitching has been the anchor for us. Probably over the last month or so. The guys have been so darn consistent. Tonight, that was the roughest outing for George. All the trouble really came with 2 outs in a number of those innings, and he just struggled to put guys away tonight.
Hey, they didn't do much in the hitting department either. They'd had a streak of 24 games in which their starting pitcher had given up no more than three runs. That obviously comes to an end. Maybe, though, maybe he was tipping pitches. Both Jason Churchill and Joe Doyle suggested yesterday online that he was tipping his pitches. Hopefully he was. At least that would be an excuse and something you could fix fairly quickly. Regardless, after winning four straight, the Mariners had a brawl and then lost two in a row. So they're going to have to make some hay. Two more against the Orioles and then four against Oakland. So a homestand where you have an opportunity to certainly beat some bad teams. We'll get back to it tonight. Robbie Ray and Dean Kramer on the Hill at 7:10.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Well, today's also the hearing for Deshaun Watson's discipline. The NFL recommending that he serve an indefinite suspension of no less than 1 year. The case will be decided by disciplinary officer Sue Robinson, who's a former federal judge and is also paid jointly by both the league and the Players Association. Quite frankly, I don't think they're recommending enough. Major League Baseball, for all of its flaws, took Trevor Bauer out and suspended him for 2 years after accusations against him. I was certainly hoping the NFL would follow that lead, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Roger Goodell, not exactly known for his leadership on this or too many other issues. In other NFL legal issues, the House Oversight Committee says Daniel Snyder has thus far refused his subpoena, which I just found out is something that can happen. It's rare, not unprecedented, however. He will eventually have to comply or be held in contempt. That's everything you need to know. Do that here, 7:45.
Let's say, reading last night, too, after some of the veteran moves, I saw Sergio Romo also got picked up. So for the thought of him maybe not having another shot.
Somebody's going to give him a shot.
Going to the Blue Jays.
Yeah, someone is going to give him a shot.
Yep.
We'll see if he's got anything left. He certainly did not while he was here, and maybe he will have it for Toronto. Maybe they pick something up that they can change or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that happens sometimes with guys, and they're able to have
a little bit
more success.
I'm excited for Carlos Santana, though. I remember actively rooting against him because he was so good. When he was with Cleveland. So yeah. I really hope that that's still got some of that gas left in the tank until our guys come back from injury.
Yeah, he was a really good hitter. I mean, especially as a catcher. I mean, he was one of those guys who was such a good hitter as a catcher that they started using him as a DH and a first baseman just to keep his bat in the lineup. And he's really been that way for most of his career. I mean, it really wasn't until the last couple years, but he's now 36. He's not a spring chicken.
To be fair, he did have a really good June so far. So
he had a very good June, but it's been essentially 2.5 years of not doing much. So, hey, if you can catch lightning in a bottle with him for the next couple of weeks until Ty France comes back and you can get anything else from him after that, that would be fantastic and certainly a lift that this team could use. I mean, you could just use a little bit of pop. He's only got 4 home runs this year.
Yeah, I know it.
So, like, I think 2 or 3 of them have come in the last few weeks.
The table clears still have not arrived.
No, but he did have 19 home runs last year. So, I mean, it's not like the power hasn't been there. I mean, it was as recently as last year he had 19. We'll see if he's able to. He is a guy who knows how to drive in runs, so maybe that will be part of it for him. And maybe he can do that because they need it.
Professional at bats.
Yeah, how about a good at bat or two with men on base or the bases loaded? What is with this team and the bases loaded?
The biggest frustrating thing for me is after you see a guy get walked or two guys that went to full counts and then the next guy gets up and swings at the first pitch.
How about you got a couple guys on and you swing at a 2-0 pitch and foul it out?
Yeah.
Does that one drive you crazy?
Oh, boy.
I saw that one from Suarez the other day. I was like, gosh, just, you know, do something else with a 2-0 pitch, please. Don't pop up a foul ball. All right. Brock Heward will join me next, and then we are doing some ranking, of course, at 9:45. It is the Mike Zolk Show, Seattle Sports on 710, seattlesports.com.
Brock and Salk.
With my brains and your brawn, we'll make an excellent team.
Every morning at 7:45 and 9:30, presented by Top Fitness Store on the Mike Salk Show.
Brock Heward is my hero.
What Brock Heward says? No, he's not a burner.
Subscribe to receive new episodes of the Brock and Salk podcast at Apple Podcasts or on Google Podcasts.
Good morning, Brock.
Good morning, Mike.
Do you know who John Boy is?
He's been on social media for some years.
Right, but
now.
You don't, like, you know what it is, sort of, but you don't know who he is, right?
Correct.
See,
correct.
So you're in the same spot as me. I had heard of John Boy, but I thought it was a company. I didn't realize it was a person.
Oh, really?
Did you know that?
I saw that you misrepresented him yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I totally screwed that up. But that's because I didn't really know that he was a person. I thought it was just a group, a company.
Very poor effort.
I thought. Yeah, whatever. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, it was. It was poor. It was a poor point.
Well, he did a great job, and I know he's done it before. I've watched his fight breakdown videos before. Uh-huh. I just didn't realize. Anyway, whatever. Yeah. Thanks.
It's a real person out there.
What'd you think of the What'd you think of the suspensions?
Ridiculous. I mean, just. The Houston Astros, I tweeted this, and by the way, I just sent you, hopefully, some mean tweets. Maybe we can have another mean tweet segment tomorrow. The great boy Howdy can put that together on our podcast.
Probably not. Howdy's not looking at me around. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know that, but maybe we can wrangle him
maybe
for
you can
one
pay
more.
Him for it, but other
oh,
than
he's
that.
John Boy 2. Maybe we can wrangle John Boy 2 to come back for one more mean tweets.
Okay.
Because the Houston Astros just did not appreciate my tweet, nor me calling them cheaters, but the fact that Altuve, Bregman, none of those guys were suspended as many games as Julio Rodriguez was for not even throwing a punch. I mean, that's the most ludicrous, okay? Jesse, Braveheart Winker, you know, attacking the whole deal, flipping off the fans. 7 games feels a little bit much, but you knew that he was going to be the most penalized of any of the Mariners. The fact that Julio was suspended for anything is ludicrous. I mean, really ludicrous. And hurts the small club, right? I mean, that's the bummer in all of this, that you're down France, you're down Kyle Lewis, you're down Haniger, you can be down JP.
Well, you may not have to be down. So, first of all, you can stagger the suspension.
I understand.
You can appeal them for a little while so that hopefully maybe you can do it after the All-Star break. You can get some of those guys back. But your point is well taken. The one thing I would say is, I mean, the fighting, they have to suspend guys for fighting.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like, and maybe they should have suspended Astros a few years ago, but you still have to suspend guys for fighting.
You do. You don't want that look. Do you think Papa Service was being like totally honest, or do you think he was encouraged by ownership in the league and others to come out as strong as he did against what they did?
What do you mean?
Did you see Scott Service's comments? Just saying there's no place for it. This isn't hockey. It isn't right. Like, I understand all of that. And
I told you earlier, I think this comes from his wife. Correct. I think Scott goes home and he's like, honey, I got into another fight at work. And she's like, Scott, stop fighting at work. Go apologize. It's a bad look for the Service family.
Right, right. I mean, the disheveled look is kind of a bad look for the Service family.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
I did too.
Scott, I got your back. If you need a character witness or whatever, I'm here for you, buddy.
I do too. And I'm sure Mr. Stanton and the Mariners and Major League Baseball and everybody, probably even from the very top and the commish, probably sent something to John, who sent it to Scott saying, I'm sorry, but you got to come out and you got to come out strong against this. But you and I both know that it's part of the game. I kind of like it. We've waited for it for 13 years. Those videos clearly show that Mr. Winker was not afraid, that he went and attacked the whole bench. Mm-hmm. He didn't need anybody else. He went right to the source, as you said yesterday. Didn't go to the pitcher, didn't go to the catcher. He walks, and that John Boy video is like, wow. Kind of reminded me of the Pearl Jam concert I worked in college.
Oh, yeah.
When the whole mosh pit started coming my way. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. This is not cool. Like, this is going to be utter chaos. And people are going to be pinned against the fence, and lives are going to be on the line. And I'm sure when Winker walked over to the dugout, it's like, this is kind of cool. Like, I am out of my skull right now. And then when they all came charging, like, okay, all right, here we go.
Well, and then when you see Scott go down in the whole thing, I mean, he got caught up in the wave.
Sure, sure. And you see why he was a little disheveled when he picked himself up. But yeah, the Houston Astros contingent, they did not like my tweet one bit. So some good mean tweets last night, this morning, responding to that. I do hope they can, as you said, settle it and appeal it and maybe get a couple games less. They'll certainly stagger it. Good news to see Kyle Lewis back on the field, finally hitting and getting up and going. So, you know, all of that certainly didn't help last night because the Orioles can kind of hit them all.
Well, they sure did. I mean,
the marine layer out of Seattle and you open up the Orioles bats. It was not good last night.
Yeah. I got a texter here saying, you know, you're getting old when you've got to compare yourself to Brock in order to feel young. Like, that's not a good sign. In order to feel current and hip, I've got to compare myself to you.
I don't get it. What does it mean?
I think you know what it means. I think you know pretty much, you know, exactly what that means.
Uh-huh. So I got a text this morning.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, someone you know and I know, asked me just very directly, is Baker Mayfield going to be a Seahawk?
And you said yes.
I said, it sure feels like some of the smoke is building.
Mm-hmm.
It's certainly, and we know the Seahawks play this coy. We know they keep these things as quiet as anybody. I mean, if they do one thing incredibly well and have for 12 years, you're not going to know until, you know, I mean, the Russell Wilson is indicative of that. It's actually Russell's team that, that tweeted from the airplane on the way to the physical. So we know they keep these things under wraps. And I know that you've got a little bit more affinity for a Jimmy Garoppolo and think maybe like Lewis Riddick, he may be a better fit right now. But as far as age, competitive fire, grit, chip on his shoulder, Pete wanting to compete, to your point, over and over and over again.
Yep.
It sure feels like this would be a strong lean. That if I was a wagering guy here with 4 weeks to go before training camp, that out of those, out of him and Jimmy, I don't know. Jimmy just, that there feels a little bit of trouble.
This has made sense since Russell Wilson was traded to Denver and Deshaun Watson went to Cleveland.
Correct.
It's always correct. Made sense since then.
Kind of like Kyrie Irving testing the waters and looking at it and going, there's really no market. I mean, there's no market out there other than to come back to Brooklyn.
Surprising.
I mean, yeah.
I'm surprised people aren't tripping all over themselves to get Kyrie.
Well, and there's just no cap space and there's no room and everything else. And you just look at this situation if you're Baker, if you're Pete, and I think they've played it beautifully. They've played it, you know, close to the vest. They've done all of this exactly right. There's no need to have to extend yourself until you have to. You wanted to get a good look at Drew Locke. And I think, as you have said time and again, the fact that he never went out with the number ones is a little bit of a, if you're a Drew Locke fan, as I think I am, talent-wise and kind of upside-wise, and even Seahawks fans when that poll was put out. So, yeah, kind of want to see him first.
He wasn't first. I'm sorry. Well, like I went out there and watched him. I was like, wait a minute. This guy's not even working with the ones. What are we doing?
I know.
How seriously can we take it at that point?
Yeah.
360 says, what do you give up for Baker? You don't have to give up much, right? You're giving up a fourth or fifth round pick and taking on a little salary, right?
Well, I don't even know. I mean, do you think we have that has to happen, or do you think
it seems like that's what's going to happen.
I don't know.
You think he just gets cut?
I think he just gets cut.
That may happen too.
$19 million on their books, right? I don't think they're going to keep him.
But they can keep him all the way until the day before the season starts if they want to. At some point you say, hey, if we actually want this guy in the team,
yes.
The one leverage the Browns have is they don't have to pay him anything until the season starts.
Correct.
So they could just wait. And if you want him, then you're going to have to go trade for him.
That's right. And that would really screw you. As we saw last year, to have no training camp and no practice together and everything, you don't just snap your fingers. You need time. You need time with the offense. You need time with your teammates. You need time to get yourself into football shape and all of that. And he's coming off of a year where he got banged up pretty good. So, yeah, I don't think you're going to have to give up. I don't think you're going to have to give up much because there's just not a market. There's not Larry Leverage out there saying, yeah, you know, here's three teams and you're going to have to keep pushing that ante more and more and more. I think you're talking, I don't know, a mid-round pick. Right, I think.
As I said, fourth, fifth round pick, something like that, and just kind of move on. All right, two things quickly. One, I got a texter here, 206, with a great idea. Maybe we can build on this. Okay. He says, I'm ordering a bunch of pacifiers on Amazon so I can throw them out like Skittles to Trout in center field at the Angels game in August.
Oh,
pacifiers is a pretty good start to something. We have to kind of think about it, but I like that. I like the idea of pacifiers. Thank you, 206.
Well, you got to be careful, though. Can't they get like tossed out and lose tickets? You throw stuff on the field. You have to be a little
careful. All right, so we come up with another idea that involves giant pacifiers or something like that. I don't know. We're just starting to think about it.
Right.
Two, so we're recording the podcast tomorrow?
Yes.
I've got a kind of moral question that I'm going to ask you about tomorrow.
Ooh.
And it involves our relationship.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I've got a moral question, which I will bring up on the show, on the podcast tomorrow, and it involves our relationship with each other.
That's kind of a strong tease.
I know. Yeah. So that's happening tomorrow. You ready for that?
I think so. But by the way, one little thought to the 360. Remember what they did? What was it? Was it Noriega? Who was the guy in Libya that got in all the trouble?
It's Gaddafi.
He was put Gaddafi in prison. And that the myth was they just played baby crying sounds the whole time in prison all around him, right? And it just like tortured him.
Mm.
Instead of throwing something on the field, how about just like baby?
Well, that's not fair to the thousands of people that are at the game. I mean, why should everybody go through the same torture as Mike Trout?
Same baby crying sound. He did to Gaddafi. Why don't we do Trout?
All right, goodbye. Brock, thank you. We'll talk tomorrow, and I will ask you about the moral dilemma on the podcast.
I like those.
There you go. All right. Bye. Brock Heward every morning, 7:45 and 9:30 here on the Mike Salk Show, Seattle Sports on 710. It's been two pretty full days of talking about the brawl, the suspensions. I think tomorrow we'll start to move along to some other things, although we will have Jeff Passan. So we'll talk to Jeff about it as well at 7:30 tomorrow morning, kind of get a sense as to how he saw the whole thing and some of the unwritten rules from his perspective. And DePoto will join me at 8:30 on Thursday. So, you know, they'll have kind of a long tail to this thing.
For as much as you like the fight in the game, have you ever been to a game that had a fight breakout?
Hockey games.
Well, obviously hockey games, but have you ever been to another one where you're like, ho, here we go, firsthand witness?
Nope.
Oh, man.
No.
I went to the Kingdom, I don't know, early 90s, and it wasn't Dan Wilson. I don't think it was Chris Widger, but it was a backup catcher. Paul O'Neill comes to the plate, some words are exchanged, swings on Paul O'Neill in the batter's box, and I remember that being like a huge, huge fight. And after the game, there was the big white parking garage outside the Kingdom, and there was the tunnel where all the players walked by to their cars. And the bus was going by, and you could see Paul O'Neill with his head in the window and big black eye. He had his hand
really?
Resting on his head.
Yeah. So you were at that game?
Yeah, I was.
That's
a kid
pretty
more
great. It, I mean, anytime somebody wants to fight Paul O'Neill, it's good with me.
Seriously, I could not stand Paul O'Neill. I don't remember who was catching that game, though. I really should look that
I'm
up.
I'm sure we'll get like about 1,000 texts on it from other people who have essentially seen it any number of times. I know I've heard about that fight and that there was, a Paul O'Neill related Mariners fight.
John Marzano? Yeah.
Oh, ex-Red Sox as well. I met
there
John Marzano at some point. I think, did he pass away a few years ago? I think he did. Gosh, you say that. You want to hope that you're,
John Marzano, 2008.
Yeah, I remember that happening. He was working in the media. He was a really nice guy. I met him a couple times because I was covering the Red Sox at the time, and he was around occasionally. Really nice guy, and I want to say he died in a car accident or something like that. It was really sad. At the time, so.
Well, it was a memory that I will have for the rest of my life.
Yeah, all right. Hey, can we start ranked a little early? I think we may need some extra time for ranked. So I'm making a judgment call. We're going to start at a minute and a half early.
Okay.
Because there are so many in this category.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwanfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on the Mike Salk Show.
That top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, I admit this is a hard one. So in honor of Phil Nevin, who is the manager of the Angels.
Interim manager.
Suspended interim manager. We're ranking Phils. My list, if you can see this is all the Phils that we have on our list. I'm holding it up if you're watching at SeattleSports.com. There's a lot of Phils on this list.
All real Phils? Or should we...
I was just saying there's a lot of Phils.
Okay.
So let me go through... There's only five could make the top five. So let me go through some of the honorable mentions because there's like a lot of them. We can start with Uncle Phil.
Well, now, Will, as much as the idea of your reproducing scares the hell out of me, I think you'll make a great father.
There you go, Uncle Phil.
Okay, Uncle Phil's good. Another, not a top five Phil, though.
Yeah, another famous Phil Dunphy.
Boy, things with your mom got pretty intense down there, huh? All like East Coast, West Coast, you feel me? Act like a parent, talk like a peer.
He's fine.
Pierrington.
Ty Burrell's fine.
He's really getting that role.
Of course, you got the Philharmonic, London Philharmonic, San Francisco, other Philharmonics out there.
Sure.
Of course, you got Dr. Phil. You got Ryan Phillippe. You got Felipe Alou.
You crossing them off as you go?
Yeah, I don't want to say them twice. I want to make sure we get them all.
Ryan Phillippe.
Of course, you got Phil Rizzuto.
Yeah, Phil Rizzuto's
don't
a
forget
Phil.
Him.
It's a real Phil.
You fill in the blanks.
Okay. Okay.
Of course, you got Philip Rivers.
Has anybody ever called him Phil?
Phil Rivers? Doesn't
Phil
have quite
Rivers
the same
work.
Sound to it, does it?
No.
Hey, what's up, Phil Rivers?
Nope.
Yeah, no, he's definitely, yeah.
He's a Philip.
You got Seahawks legend Phil Haynes.
Good athlete, but...
There you go. He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Those old school Brock and Salk listeners may remember Phil the Skunk.
I am the bringer of inconvenient truths.
Yes, Phil the Skunk. Very negative person all the time, essentially.
What a landfill.
That's true. You do have the landfill. Dude, I brought Cecily over to the dump the other day. She was so mad at me. She's like, I don't want to go to the dump. You're going.
It's an important part of childhood.
I know. Yeah, I made another trip to the dump even after we talked about
it. Do you have to rent another truck?
No. I was able to take our SUV. Of course, you got the band Filter. Maybe you guys remember Filter. Take My Picture.
good Phil. Not a Phil at all.
How do you feel about Phil? Filter, rather.
I remember Hey Man, Nice Shot was a huge hit when I was working on The Monkey, and we played that a lot, and it kind of burned myself out of it. Yep. Take My Picture, though, is still a jam. I'll listen to that once in a while. I loved that late 90s weird rock era.
Yeah. Of course, you got Chick-fil-A.
Mmm. Phil. Yeah.
You also got filet mignon, filet of fish.
Oh, God. Okay.
So if you want to go down the filet route, there's certainly plenty of options there. You got King Philip.
King Philip?
Prince Philip.
Prince Philip.
You got both. Now, if you want to go down this road.
Leave each other alone like this on the streets of Philadelphia.
You got Philadelphia, the song, the movie, the town, the Philly fanatic, the Philadelphia Phillies.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
There's a lot of Phils related in that particular genre.
Yeah,
you got free refills. You don't want to forget about those.
Oh, my God.
Are we filibustering now? Is that what you would say we're doing?
Yeah, that's exactly what
we're doing. Yeah, I guess you could make that argument.
Let's give it number five.
Of course, you got Wilson Phillips. You got Wade Phillips. You got Michelle Phillips. It's a lot of Phils, Phillips, Felipes, etc.
All not top five yet.
Nope. Nor is Phil Mickelson, which is close. Now, Phil, I'm not saying he got kicked out of the top five because of what's happened in the last few weeks. He's been an all-time great. I'm just saying the five I've got ahead of him are so good, are so incredible that I couldn't take any of them out of the top five.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, you've built this up quite a bit by, A, starting early, and B, not using Phils at all half the time so far.
All right. Let's see. Number one, or number five. I'm not going to start number one.
Okay.
Did I miss any others that people are texting in?
Phil Knight.
What'd you say?
Phil Knight.
Oh, Phil Knight.
Good Phil.
Sure.
Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Good one.
Good one, 360.
Yeah, thank you. Good Phils. Number five on my list, one of my all-time favorite players and favorite guests.
Brock and Sulky, you guys had me on, I think, before the draft or after the draft.
That's Phil Sims, trying to remember my name.
All right. Phil Sims.
I love Phil Sims. I've got tons of sound here from Phil Sims, more than I should.
We got a Philip Phillips was on American Idol. Remember him?
Yeah, who is that?
American Idol singer.
Yeah, I don't know who that is. What kind of music?
It's like an acoustic. He has an acoustic guitar, so he's like just a pop type singer, but he leans a little bit toward country at times. My friend tour managed him for a while.
Oh, yeah?
Good dude.
How good a friend?
Oh, he's a
three-star friend?
Oh, he's a five-star friend.
Five-star friend?
It's my guy Big Daddy from
our
movie.
You always say that. Oh, I didn't even tell you. I had some Wilson Phillips. Someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Until then, this is pretty good in Bridesmaids, though, right?
Yeah.
There you go. There's a little Wilson Phillips.
They owe Bridesmaids royalties probably for the amount of money that they've made from that.
I mentioned Michelle Phillips. I also probably should mention John Phillips, who she was married to, both from the Mamas and the Papas. Okay.
I'll allow it. Let's go.
Number four, all-time Phils, Phil Collins. For a lot of reasons. Tons of great music, both with Genesis and by himself.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give Phil Collins credit for two other things. One, tweeting out every year the exact time you need to start in the air tonight before New Year's. To have it hit right at New Year's Eve, which is great. And two, did you know that he is responsible for getting Robert Plant back into music after John Bonham died?
No.
He basically like grabbed him and was like, you need to keep doing stuff.
The world needs your art.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
Phil Collins had a weird, cool career.
Yep. I mean, Genesis, early Genesis is
fantastic.
Like really avant-garde, ahead of its time. Yeah.
Proggy,
it's not
poppy
at all. It's super proggy. Yeah. So Phil Collins, number four, great drummer as well. Number three.
We should drummer singers rank someday. A few of those.
Of course, you got Dave Clark, the Dave Clark Five.
I'm trying to think of the guy's name. Singer Betray You.
There's not a lot of drummer singers. Phil Collins.
Only a few.
Of course, you got Don Henley. It's probably number one.
Yeah, Don Henley is the number one.
Yeah. All right, number three. Hold on, I got to find this here. Number three. This is maybe a little bit of an upset. I got you. Punxsutawney Phil.
Okay.
That's not him talking. I don't want you to feel like, you know, that's him talking.
It's a very famous Phil. We were getting a lot of Punxsutawney texts.
Did we?
So I'm glad
good.
We did that.
All right, good. I'm glad that Punxsutawney Phil was on other people's lists as well.
One of the best American hockey players, Phil Kessel. Somebody's texting.
Phil Kessel's a... No, I'm not putting Phil Kessel on my list. I covered Phil Kessel. No, just flat no.
Okay. Number three.
Number three was Punxsutawney Phil.
Number two.
You're already ready for number two?
I'm ready for
you
number two.
You don't want to talk more about Punxsutawney Phil?
Do you have other Phils that you haven't yet already mentioned that are still honorable mentions that you're peppering in?
I don't think so. I can't think of any others that I haven't crossed off my list here. Unless you're getting texts of other Phils that we've missed.
No, I think the drum Phil was covered with our In the Air tonight.
Mm.
I think that's a dual Phil.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cream filling?
It's a pretty good one.
Somebody spent a lot of time talking about banana cream pie lately.
Cream filling's pretty good. That's a good one. All right, no, number two, I don't have any sound for him. But when you win 13 championships, 11 as a coach, 2 as a player, Phil Jackson's number two on this list.
Great Phil. And a really great voice. I loved listening to him on broadcast. Like, well, after the game, post-game interviews. Just got this low,
yeah.
Like, I don't even know how to explain it. It just rumbles.
Do you buy into his whole Zen master stuff?
How could he not?
I don't know. I think you could not.
Do you buy into Pete Carroll's?
Well, Pete's not a Zen master.
He's definitely not a hard-nosed, old-school football mind.
No, but he's not out there, like, you know, doing the
meditation,
the meditation Zen stuff.
Ooh, the Phillips screwdriver. Shoot.
How'd you miss that?
I don't know.
You're more of a flathead guy.
Yeah, I'm a flathead guy.
Flathead Lake. I mean, you know.
More of an Allen Key guy.
We may end up
somewhere more is punching in the air right now. Nathan and Vuolf.
She hates this.
It's getting out of control. Okay, let's get it.
You mean you're ready for number one?
Yeah, I'm ready for number one.
We still have another minute. All right, number one. Now, he may not be everybody's number one, but he is mine. He is arguably the most underrated comedic actor of all time.
Oh, okay.
Was on Saturday Night Live, and for whatever reason, for all of the glory they give to other departed stars, they never seem to say enough about the legendary Phil Hartman.
You're like one of those trained police attack dogs they set loose in the wild and it goes all soft and gets eaten by a deer or something. What? Have you ever heard the expression, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade and then toss it in the face of the person who gave you the lemons until they give you the oranges you asked for in the first place?
Great number one. Yes, yeah. Phil Hartman. You're right. Not enough respect given to him for his SNL career.
I don't understand why not. He is hysterically funny. And he makes every sketch he's ever in better.
Caveman lawyer.
That one for sure. But he's just one of those guys where whenever he's in anything, he's funny in it.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
So Phil Hartman, number one, Phil.
He's done a lot of voiceover stuff, too, that's really good.
Phil Nevin, not on the list for whatever reason. I'm surprised.
Me too.
Thought he might have made it. He just inspired the list. All right, there you go. All-time Phils. Thank you, everybody, for texting in.
Great job.
Donahue. Yeah, Phil Knight. Yeah. All right. Good stuff.
Just glad I got to relive my memory of Paul O'Neill getting punched by John Marzano.
Of course, you got the Philippines. Don't forget about that. All right, we got to run. I'm going to try my banana ketchup.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. And we will have Jeff Paston at 7:30. Stick around for Bump and Stacey. Goodbye.